You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, a couple of nights ago, I did a show titled, When Is It Time to Cut Ties with Old Friends? And I did that show because I know that many people out there are struggling with trying to find out or figure out if they should stick around this old friendship or should they move on. And I understand because I've been there before. I've been there where you vested a lot of time, a lot of energy. You've put in a lot of good years of your life into this friendship. And you wonder what you should do because it just doesn't feel right anymore. And so tonight I'm taking it a step further. We're going a step further because, you know, sometimes when the writing's on the wall and you know for a fact that it's time to exit stage right, that's fine and dandy. However, for a lot of us, knowing it is one thing, but following through and doing what's right to leave a non-working toxic relationship is easier said than done. Many of us can say, yes, yes, oh yes, I know this relationship isn't working. We've been friends for a long time. It hasn't been working for a very long time. And I see that and I know that. But I just don't know how to get out of it. I mean, it's just so familiar. We've been doing this for so long. And, you know, in the previous show, I had talked about some of the tags, some of the direct targets of knowing that the friendship is no longer working. Some of those things that I talked about was that there's some put downs, there's some disrespect. There is a lot of one-upping. I'm better than you. I got more money than you. I got a better job than you. But a lot of put downs, a little bit of disrespect. Sometimes and most of the time it's hidden in a joke or a comment. A lot of people call them zingers, you know. Woo, you got zinged. Because it's not so you get really home, you know. It's one of those homers where you get home and you go, man, I can't believe they said that to me. You don't really catch it. And also, a lot of times, most of these things happen, the put-downs and the one-upping and all that, comes around in a supposed friendship when competition rears its ugly head. And a lot of times, too, when the other person doesn't love or respect themselves, and so they can't love and respect you. And so tonight, when we're talking about how do we exit stage right, how do we actually get up and do it? Because talk is cheap. You know, you can sit there and tell your other friend how bad this person is and how they keep doing this and keep doing that. But at what point in time are you going to say goodbye and walk away? Or are you able to do that? I think it's interesting how in our society today, very few people are able to say no. Very few people are able to say no. And it's interesting because think about it. Most people will agree to do something, but they won't follow through. And what do some of y'all call these people? Oh, yeah, you call them flakes. You call them flakes. You're like, oh, they're just being flaky again. But isn't it because they just didn't say no because they couldn't say it? And so instead of being honest and direct and to the point, they said, oh, yeah, let's do it. And then they're nowhere to be found. And so then they avoid you because they feel bad about not being able to do it. And it's like this crazy, crazy cycle that continues over and over again. And many of us have been down that road. I mean, it's like the same as when somebody borrows money from you and they say, oh, yeah, I can pay you back. I'll pay you back next week. Well, they don't pay you back next week and they don't pay you back the following week and they don't pay you back the following week. And eventually they stop calling you. And when you try to call them, they stop answering the phone. And sometimes you could have loaned them $100 and that $100 wedged a wedge between you and that person for a lifetime. Was that $100 worth it? Or would it have been easier to just say, you know what? I'm not going to be able to pay this money back. So if you loan it to me, you loan it to me because I need it, not because I'm going to be able to pay it back, because I want to be honest with you. And I know some of you say, well, you might not get the money, but the process is this. You know, being honest and being forthright, it has its privileges. And these privileges are amazing because you're able to tell the truth. And it's interesting how we are all humans. Okay, we're all human beings. We know that. And we all make mistakes. And we know that too. I make my share of mistakes. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So if that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, and we're in a situation in a friendship that we know is not good, isn't helping us, might even be toxic, but we can't stop hanging out with them. This, to me, is the definition of insanity. It's like we know what's good for us, we know what we need to do, we knew what the right thing is to do, but we just can't seem to do it. We just can't seem to get the guts up to do what we need to do. And I'd have to say that that's on two different levels. One is you're kind of realizing some stuff about you, is that a lot of times these people that we put in our life that might not be actually the best people for us, we put them in our life as barricades. Think about it. To get in the way of us achieving things, because we don't want to be the one person saying, I'm my own barricade. I'm self-inflicting my own pain. No, it's their fault. They're the ones that's inflicting the pain on me. They're the ones in my way. So when we begin to realize that these friendships are two-way streets, that you create them and someone else is involved, but when we also realize that we are the creators of both very positive and imaginative and creative relationships, as well as stifling and toxic relationships. Think about it. It's not just one person over there being toxic. It's not just one person being over there being imaginative. It takes two people to construct a relationship based on certain values. And with that in mind, the reason why it's so difficult for us to exit a toxic relationship is because it's part of us. We're having to actually accept part of ourselves, let it go, mourn it, and move on. And that, my friend, that's what's so hard. Because a lot of us feel like, oh, well, we've known that person for so long, and it's going to be really difficult, and this is really hard for me, and, you know, I don't know, we just, it's so much time invested, and I don't want to lose all that time. And, you know, you kind of keep doing the same thing and wanting different results. Like, you can't leave them alone. You know, we know that they're not good for us, but we keep going back. It's like the same thing when we've all done this before, where you decide that this is a toxic relationship and you're going to move on. And so you say basically your adioses, your goodbyes. And, you know, about a week later, you're kind of bored and wondering what they're up to. And you text them, you reach out to them, you call them, and they take your call, or, you know, they accept your text, and you're back out hanging out with them. And a few days later, you're back in the same boat, and you go, man, they're just sucking me back into this. I just can't seem to get away. Every time I seem to get away, they pull me back in. They just pull me back in. I just can't get out of this. It's a vicious cycle. Well, it is definitely a vicious cycle. But guess what? You're actually creating the cycle. You've invented the cycle. You are the mad genius behind this entire thing. You know, and it's interesting how a lot of times we like to say they pull me back in. No, actually, let's go back to the videotape on this one, right? Most of the time, when you exit a toxic or non-working relationship, whether it's a love relationship or a friendship, now think about this. One person is trying to get back in and the other person's not. And it's interesting because normally when we instigate the leave, some of us instigators are the same people that try to instigate the get back together. And so it's not necessarily the other person that's pulling you back in. It's you pulling yourself back in. But why would anybody ever do that? Why would anybody ever do that? And when we return, I'll be talking why we do that, why we do that a lot, and later on, how to overcome that, and how to move on successfully with your life. Stay tuned, because Live Your True Life Perspectives will be back this time, and well, come on, you know it, be back this time in two shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Why would anybody want to do that? Why would anybody want to be back into a toxic relationship? Oh, God, help us all. Why do we want to get back into this relationship? I'll go all over God's green creation and tell everybody not to be in toxic relationships. Well, you know what? We're human. We're human, and yes, we make mistakes. I think they've written songs like that before. I'm not big fans of them, but yes, they've written songs. You're only human. It's your deal to make mistakes, right? I get it. I try not to listen to, like, self-deprecating music. However, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And I know that a lot of us are big fans of insanity, because we've lived our life like that. We want different results, but we're just going to do the same thing. Okay, that's just the way we are. That's our A to B. That's our motto. That's our mantra, really. And it's interesting when it comes to toxic relationships. Because we know that we don't want to be in it. We know it's not our thing. We know it's not good for us. We know that it's not bettering us. We know we're not getting far in life because of it. We know that we're holding ourselves back. But what do? We stay in. We stay. And it's interesting because it's the human condition to do that. And people go, well, why would you want to stay in a toxic relationship? Well, let me explain why we do that. First of all, we have the realization that we're in a toxic friendship or in a toxic relationship, love relationship, right? So we come to terms with the fact that we know it. And we know it because we've shared it with other friends. I mean, how many people have you told about it? And they all go, man, that's really messed up. Man, I had no idea you were going through that. And you go, I know. And they go, well, you need to get out of that relationship. And you go, yeah. That's what I'm doing right now. Okay, so that let's just say that was 9 months ago. Yesterday, you went out with your friends and you talked about the same person, about all the problems you have, and you're still in it. And they're like, oh, God. Oh, is Ashley ever going to shut up? I mean, in the beginning, they were kind of interested in helping, and now they're just like, this sucks. Like, I got to listen to Ashley, like, just totally, like, whine all the time about something that doesn't matter. At least all of us are totally over it. Okay. And see, that's what happens is we know it's toxic and we tell everybody about it and they reaffirm the fact that it's toxic and we know it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. So we have the realization that we have a toxic friend and for some of you out there, a toxic lover. And why do you keep going back? Because some of you get really down on yourself because you're like, I cannot get out of this relationship. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? And I'll tell you what's wrong with you. That was pretty funny, right? That was like the Dr. Laura side of the show. No, honestly, what the issue is this. There's nothing wrong with you. This is what's going on. Is that you realize that it's toxic, but just like a drug. So see the relationship as a drug. The drug is addictive. And you develop a sense of dependency. Okay? So just like a drug, this person, this relationship can be very addictive. Because it's been going on for a while. There's a lot of time, a lot of water under the bridge. Okay? A lot of time vested. That's part of it. You know, just like anything else, the more you do something, the more it becomes habit, the more it becomes commonplace. And you begin to develop a sense of dependency. And in that process of developing that dependency, some people call it codependency when it's in a relationship, you remember certain things about the relationship. You kind of glamorize things, but you also get dependent on it even when it's dysfunctional. Even when it's dysfunctional, you have dependency. And let me explain that. I had a couple that came in to my office about a year ago. And they would fight every single night. And both of them would drink a lot and do their thing. And then they would start a fight. And every night they would start the same fight. And they would yell. The wife would yell. The husband would yell. And every night the wife would get a little bag and put some clothes in there and get her a little makeup to go bag and would make a big production about walking out the front door to the car. Okay. And this to me is not healthy. I mean, I might be a therapist, but I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist again to know what healthy is, but let's just say this is not healthy. And so through therapy with both of them, we got to where reasons why they were doing what they were doing. And I'm not going to share all that on here. Why the one person was reacting a certain way, what the other person was fueling within the inside of the other person, the inconsistencies here, but better yet, the feeling of abandonment and that sort of things. And we were able to get through that and eventually put both people in the room and begin to work out these problems. After several weeks of working out these problems, their relationship began to get a lot better. And I was really, really proud because it was a very quick change. It had only been a few weeks, and I was watching this mesmerizing change in their relationship, and it was very interesting. I just didn't know how long it was going to last because I know how old habits are. And at one time, the husband looks at me and he goes, "I think we're cured." And I was like, well, I don't like to use that word cured. But anyway, everybody can get better and work on themselves. But I said, I think it's time for y'all to take a couple of weeks and work on the stuff we've been working on and come back in. Well, after 2 or 3 weeks, apparently everything went back awry. And they started fighting again. And I said, why is this happening? And they had gotten so used to it that they didn't know what else to do. He told me, he said that they went home the first few days and everything was great, but they just felt like fish out of water. And they couldn't construct a new environment. Like, they didn't know how to go about changing up the dynamics or working to do a different type of schedule or creating different activities at night to spend time at. And I had kept asking them to do that because I said it's very important that you start a new clear regimen. You can't just change something completely and put nothing in its place and just assume everything's going to go right. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. And why it doesn't is our brains have been calibrated over time and consistency and repetition. We begin to see things a certain way and expect things a certain way. And so even if you change everything and everybody stops fighting, that's great. But what do we put in its place? And so I told them, I said, you've got to create a plan for yourself when you get home, what you're going to be doing from now on instead of fighting. And they're like, you've got to be kidding me. That's silly. There's so many options. We got so many things. I said, but you would be amazed to what's going to happen if you don't. And so they didn't create a new program. And guess what? They started their same fights again. And when they came back in, they said, well, what happened? I said, well, you never created a plan. You never gave yourself a plan. And this is a lot like toxic relationships. It's just like smoking cigarettes. If you quit smoking cold turkey, and, you know, kudos, I've done it before. And as you see, I've done it before. I've quit for years now, but cold turkey is pretty hard. To not have any backup plan, no gum, no inhalant, no patch, no help whatsoever, no padding, nothing. That works a certain percentage of the time. And the same thing works when you give yourself no backup plan and you offer yourself no other option, but you're just not going to do something anymore. What do? When your mind starts going back and thinking about things and you start feeling a little sad or you're kind of reminiscing the past or you're kind of wondering what they're doing or what's going on with the friend that you just exited stage right to, guess what you do? You pick up the phone and you pull them back in. It's human nature when we don't give ourselves a new protocol. When we don't give ourselves a new protocol or a new software update, we go back to the old software. We go back to the whole thing again because that's what we know. And it's just like giving yourself a safety net when you quit smoking. Is that you know that you've loved to smoke. Every time at work, when there's a lull at work, you walk outside and you smoke. On the way home, you stop somewhere and you smoke. After dinner, you go outside in the backyard and you smoke. Maybe in the morning with your coffee, you go outside and you smoke. Some of you don't even bother going outside, but I'm just talking about the ones that do go outside. There's a regimen, especially when you create this regimen. And let me explain, because this has to do directly with relationships. So when I, right before I quit smoking, when I was smoking, I never smoked in my car or my house or anything like that. I did not want to smell it anywhere except for outside. And so I would always basically plan my route wherever I was going. And throughout the day when I was driving to different meetings, I could just pull over in a certain location that I've done many times before, get out of my car, smoke a cigarette, end my phone call, and get back in the car and go. And so it was very interesting. I would do that throughout the day. And at lunch, every time I went out to lunch with folks, the few people that knew that I smoked, when we go out to lunch, we'd walk. Everybody would walk outside the restaurant with me, and everybody will walk to the side of the restaurant while Ashley smoked a cigarette. And that was normal. That was normal everyday life. And, you know, people, it began to be other people's, like, program. It was their programmed response. So they didn't smoke. But right when we left the restaurant, nobody just got in their car. Everybody would walk to one spot out to the side outside the restaurant so I could have a cigarette. And yes, I was the only smoker, but nobody made a comment. Everybody just did it because we've been doing this for so long. Okay. So one day I went out of town. And when I was out of town for, it was not one day, but I went out of town for about 3 weeks and I was in California. And I was doing some more schooling, and I woke up one morning, and I said, you know what? Last night was my last cigarette, and I meant it. And, you know, between us and everybody else, that was my last cigarette the night before I ever had in my life. It's been a long time now. It's been, I guess, probably about 5 years, maybe. And it was amazing. And when we returned, I'm talking about what happened to the routine and how this directly relates to exiting right from stage right from toxic relationships, because it's hard to overcome the routine. And once you can overcome the routine and be able to create a new routine, that's when you can exit stage right for good and not worry about it. Stay tuned when we return. I'll be talking all about this and how you can do it effectively and live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in 2 Shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're discussing, you've already know that you're in a toxic relationship. You already know that. You're trying to exit stage right. You might have already exited stage right, but you're back in. You're back in. And why is that? We've been talking about exactly why that is. Why we go back into toxic relationships, whether it's love or friendship, Because a lot of you are down on yourself because you said, why can't I just get past this? Why can't I move on? What is so hard and so difficult that I keep getting back into this relationship? And so right before the break, I was talking about I quit smoking in California because remember I had this whole routine back in the day when I was smoking. I would pull over on the side of the road in different locations and smoke. And then because I never smoked in my car or my house. And then after every lunch that I had, like business lunch, everybody knew that I smoked, that I hung out with. So at the end of lunch, we'd all walk off outside of the restaurant to a certain part where I could smoke, and everybody kept the conversation going, and I was the only one smoking. So it's like I had this routine, but not only did I have this routine, I created a routine that other people followed, right? Because it was part of the whole deal. They followed the routine too, and nobody really thought about it. So I'm in California. I wake up one morning after 3 weeks and I realize the night before that last cigarette was the last cigarette I will ever have. And that's true. And that has been the case. And I haven't had another cigarette. And I feel very good about that. However, when I came back home, I remember driving, you know, a couple of days later, driving on the road, and I would see the places that I would pull over and smoke. And I would keep driving, and then I would see the places that I would stop at if I had a phone call. And I remember being at home and, like, you know, occasionally after dinner, you'd go outside and smoke. And I remember, like, I'd walk around or talk to certain people or whatever. But the worst of it was when I had other people involved. And so 2 days later, after all that, I end up going to lunch with some folks to talk some business. And these are key people that know me. None of them smoke, but they all hung out with me when I smoked. And so after lunch that day, we're walking out the door and everybody starts walking to the right side of the restaurant so Ashley can smoke. And I looked at everybody funny. And they're all waiting for me to get a cigarette out. And I hadn't told anybody that I quit. I forgot. And I was like, what's going on? And they're like, what do you mean? What's going on? Aren't you going to smoke a cigarette? I was like, oh, crap. No, I'm not. And they're like, wait a second. What's going on? You don't have time? Where are you going? I thought we were going to finish the conversation. And I was like, I was wondering why you were kind of leaving me hanging in the restaurant. And they're like, because we always finish the conversation outside. And I said, well, I quit smoking. And they're like, oh my God, this is weird. This is really, really strange. And I was like, well, we can still keep talking. And they're like, okay. So it was just kind of odd. Everybody was a little disjointed. Everybody gave each other a hug and kind of took off. And for a few days, I didn't hear from anybody. And I ended up getting calls from two of the people, and they said, man, that was so weird. And I said, what do you mean? They go, we're just so used to the routine. And it was really weird because you, like, changed it all up. And we're totally cool and happy that you quit smoking, but it was just so out of the blue. And so when you think about what I just said, and you put it in the context of leaving a toxic relationship, the first part about that is that that toxic relationship became a routine. The arguments, the fussing and fighting, the disagreement, the put downs, the competition, the loathing of each other, the constant talking, the anger, the other person making you or you making yourself feel bad about yourself or ashamed of things that you did in the past, the put downs, the pointing out of not being great, all those kind of things. Those became the routine. That became routine, spending time with them, feeling that way, not just hanging out with them, not just the time spent, but feeling those ways. Those feelings became routine as well. Okay? And I know that sounds weird. Well, why would I want to feel bad? I know. I get it. It is odd. I mean, there's a lot of stuff behind that, but it's a routine thing. Okay? It's a routine thing. It's an addiction to what's normal. It could be the most fragmented, the most toxic thing, but if you're used to it, it feels weird not to be in it. And so, in order to overcome the toxic relationship, you have to overcome, you must begin to overcome the routine. And so once you step out of that relationship and say, sayonara, I've got to move on, or hey, I've got to take some time off, whatever you need. I mean, the best thing to do is to be honest. Because if you're not honest, you're going to have to come back around and be honest at some point, or just not say anything and just leave stage right and not come back around. But once you leave that and you realize it's toxic and you understand it's addictive and you see that you have dependency issues with that, and you realize that cold turkey, because you've probably gone back several times, isn't going to work. And you realize that because you've already gone back. Okay, so you've gone back several times. And you've tried it out. And you've had the pain again. And the put downs. And all the other crap that goes with it. And you've experienced that. And then you hate that. And then you exit stage right again. And you go back to overcoming the routine. But you don't go to creating a new routine. And so now, beginning this evening, it's time for you to create a new routine. And what that means is, in the future, when you're bored and you feel like reaching out, or you wonder how they're doing, or your mind is trying to get you to go back into that stage, or your body is addicted to that feeling of being miserable, or you're reminiscing on the past and sugarcoating everything, or you just got nothing to do, instead of going back to what is toxic, you've created a new plan. And what that new plan is a new routine. New people to hang out with, new things to do. You know, I tell a lot of my clients, routine is very interesting because you just have to change your values of what's important to really create a new routine. And so, for example, if you're trying to exit some toxic relationships that you spend a lot of time in those relationships, it's time to put your time somewhere else. You got work, maybe school, maybe a new hobby, maybe new friends, okay? Because then that loneliness and that feeling of emptiness isn't there to push you back into that routine again. Wondering why you keep sabotaging yourself. Why does this still happen? And a lot of us don't even see that we're sabotaging ourselves. We just feel like we're getting pulled back in, and that this person must be the spawn of Satan himself. This person must be the spawn of Satan because he keeps pulling me back in. Right when I think I got away, I'm back in. And that's how a lot of us feel. But think about it. It's really never been about them ever. It's really never been about them ever. I presuppose the fact that we actually go out and find people that can hold us back by our own power. We don't want to be the one that we go, oh yeah, it's my fault. We want to be like, no, it's their fault right there, that guy right there, that girl right there, it's their fault. My life would be so much better without them. And it's interesting that once we take and create that new routine and we work at our new routine, we change our life for the better. Our life completely changes, okay? Because what happens is one, you actually cared enough to make a change. Two, you've actually rewrote your life. Your life is better than this. You're not going to deal with this anymore. But the biggest thing is that with each passing day, the new routine gets easier. Just like anything else, just like you quit smoking, the first few days is just absolutely brutal. You're like, oh my God, I don't think I can do this. I think I'm dying. I might as well just get shot right now. I'm just dying. That's what you feel like. You feel like that. You go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I mean, for some of you, you never smoked a cigarette in your life, but you're trying to quit colas and sodas. I've done that. And yes, it is painful. And it lasts for like a few weeks. And some of you might have drank so much soda and caffeine that it might be a month of just grueling hell. But I'm telling you, after a month, you're going to feel a lot better. But in the process, You got to get out of your body and your system what's toxic. You can't keep going back doing the same thing and expecting different results. You can't keep going back to soft drinks if that's increasing your cholesterol, your sugar levels, your blood pressure, your weight, just feeling like malaise and feeling just like crappy all the time. You got to make a change. Otherwise, quit bitching. You see what I'm saying? Like, you have to make a change. Because it comes a point when you know you got to change that when you don't, you are now the visible roadblock. You're your own roadblock. No question. You can't act like it's not true. You have to know it's true. Because you yourself are holding yourself back and you know it because you're doing it. It's just the way life is. Eventually, we have to look at the truth and say, okay, that is the truth. God bless us all. Thanks for pointing that out, Ashley. I'm going to move on to stage right. And that's the thing is that when we're able to take that old routine and create a new routine that's healthy, whether it's a love relationship, a friendship, anything really, if you think about it, smoking, addiction, any of this stuff, when you create a new routine, over time, you rewrite the brain so it's not connected to that. It's not a trigger. You know, I mean, you'll still have triggers if it's like smoking or something, but over a period of time, it won't be the same. And you'll be able to have a lot better grasp on things. Your power will be stronger. And you won't be allowing these toxic things in your life anymore. I mean, life is too short. The last thing you need are friends and lovers around you who are the opposite of friends and the opposite of lovers. They do nothing but take you down, hurt you, make you feel bad about yourself, bring up old stories from the past that make you feel shameful and ashamed. And there you are like, oh my God, I feel awful. I feel naked. I can't believe this. Life's too short. So it's time to step up to the plate and create your new routine and get out of these toxic relationships. When we return, I'm talking about what's going to happen after all this, how you'll move on, and what your life's going to be after that. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host. Oh, wait a second. Check out AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBERGES.com. Check out my latest blogs as well as radio shows and my latest videos I've been doing. I've been doing some really amazing Monday Motivation, Transformation Tuesdays, and TBT Throwback Thursday videos you might find very interesting. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, Ashley Burgess. Also, check me out on iTunes and Spreaker. And check out how the top-rated Live Your True Life Perspectives is doing on those formats as well, because it's podcasting 24/7. You can listen anywhere, anytime, anyplace. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. Two shakes. You could be
my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
And welcome back to Live Your True Life Perspectives. And I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking about exiting stage right when it comes to toxic relationships. You know, a lot of us know when a relationship is toxic, when it's past its prime, for some of it, when it absolutely stinks. However, it's very difficult for a lot of us to move on, to do what's right in our life. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I've been talking about this evening, but right now I want to give the rundown of what you can do every single time you're dealing with a situation like this. First off, like I was talking about, the development of a new routine. The new routine is instrumental to make massive changes in our life. Just like me smoking, remember? I would stop off the side of the road in certain particular spots because I didn't smoke in my car. And when after I'd quit, I remember driving down some of those areas and seeing those places, and it would trigger, you know, it would trigger a little feeling and a little, you know, want and desire to have some, you know, some cigarettes. But over a period of time, by changing my routine, I was able to stop those triggers. I didn't have so much attachment to them. And I was able to have that new routine and see it for what it is. And at first, it's very different. At first, it can kind of be a little overwhelming because you're changing your entire life. I mean, it's not easy to make change in your life. If it was, everybody would do it. Everybody can do it. But again, I stress the fact that if it was easy, everybody can make change all the time. Everybody would be a superstar and nobody would have any problems and there'd be no problems in the whole world if everybody can make changes to better themselves. There would be no problems. But the thing is that we get lulled into a sense of false security. Our mind, that same routine, making us feel that even though it's dysfunctional, it's okay. And so when we create that new routine, we realize that it becomes not only a priority, but it becomes a lifesaver. It becomes a lifesaver because we're able to change what we were sabotaging in our life, get rid of the things that weren't working, and actually have a plan to get past it. It's interesting, too, because with that new routine that's going to better your life, through the new routine, through living the new routine, because the new routine becomes your new lifestyle, right? The lifestyle changes that you have directly relate to the quality of life that you have. And so that new routine becomes a new lifestyle, really. And that new lifestyle is implemented by you. Okay? You create the new lifestyle that you know is going to bring a better life. And the cool thing about when you start living this better lifestyle, you begin to see your value. You begin to see the love you have within yourself. Okay? Because that's all that really matters here, is that every relationship we have with other people is directly related to our personal relationship with ourselves. The reason why we allow ourselves in toxic relationships is because we're not completely there yet. We haven't found the love we have within ourselves, and we haven't really seen our personal value. If we had already seen that and knew that to be true, we would have no time for toxic relationships in our life, period. End of story. You would have no time for abuse if you knew there was no way in hell that you were ever going to be abused because you were a king or a queen. You would know this. You would not be anywhere around it. And so, as we create this new lifestyle and we find this new value and we find this new love and we realize that we can actually have joy, it's not all about, oh, are you happy? Are you happy? Are you happy? I mean, happiness is a good thing, but joy and gratitude is another level. Happiness is good, but only you can make happiness in your own life. Only you can create joy in your own life. Only you can have gratitude for your life. And through that new lifestyle, through that new routine, dumb it down to the routine because that's what it is. It's a new routine. You create happiness, joy, you find the value within yourself, and you begin to live to that level. Because when you realize your value and you understand where you are, you can't go back. I mean, you can, but you have to have a lot of mind erasing, a lot of alcohol, a lot of drugs to go backwards. You got to have something going on because you just can't do it. Once you know for a fact what you know, it's hard to cover that up. I mean, you have to use massive amounts of something to basically divide up your feelings from the knowledge that you have. And I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, once you know the truth, you don't want to turn back because all you can do is maximize on that. Your life becomes that much better. In the beginning, it might be a little scary because you're like, oh my God, what is all this? I had no idea that my life could be like this. Through this new lifestyle, this new routine, every day gets easier. you realize the value of not being in that relationship. And it's interesting how you eventually get to a healthy standpoint where you no longer have ill will toward that person. You no longer dislike them, but better yet, you actually care. You love them. Not in a relationship that you can have, but in a love for all people way. And you pray and you wish and you meditate and you hope and you wish them the best and the best they can have. Because you've gotten past being angry with them and you've realized that you've moved on. And that's always an amazing feeling to let that anger go. And once you let that anger go, that anger gets out of your life. And your life becomes like really, really, really amazing. And the funny thing about it is that a lot of times once we're allowed to let that anger go, we were kind of holding on to that as our last crutch. Because even though we had left the relationship, the anger was still with us. So it's like we kind of hadn't graduated yet. And it's not until we let that anger go, that disgruntlement, that anger, that sadness, that depression, whatever. Once we let that go, we are then able to realize the true part that we played in the situation. And better yet, wow, this is crazy. Even better yet, what we were holding on to and why we were holding on to that and what we were actually holding ourselves back from. Okay, so get this. Once we're able to let go of the anger, actually care for that other person, not need to have them around, not need to bring them back in your life. No, 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 no. You can still love somebody from afar. Okay? That is underlined and bold. Okay? Those words are glowing like neon. You can love them from afar, please. Once you're able to do that, you're able to realize the part that you played in the situation. Because it's not just them. They weren't born and their whole mission was to screw your life up. I'm going to be born, sir, and I'm going to screw Ashley's life up, sir. No, no, that's not how it is. So you'll be able to see what part you played in it, but better yet, what you were actually holding yourself back from by holding on to that routine, that person, and that lifestyle. I've done it. I've done it in my past, and when I woke up and realized it, I was like, holy hand grenade, Superman. I kept that as a crutch to not jump up to the next level I needed to be at because I was scared. And it's okay to not know, and it's okay to be scared of the unknown. But if you're powerful and you're strong and you believe in yourself, the unknown is not a scary place. The scary place is more of the known when the known is not working. So find that new routine, create that new routine, exit stage right, stick to it, believe in yourself, and just get over the anger and understand that this is all within you. And this relationship and this routine and this lifestyle is all directly related to how you feel about yourself. Stay tuned. I got a great show for you next. Check me out on Spreaker, iTunes, Live Your True Life Perspectives, the Ashley Burgess Network, Ashley Burgess Network, and Facebook and Twitter. Have a blessed evening and live your true life. Hashtag LYTL Perspectives. We back this time. Well, you know how it is. I'll be back this time in 3 shakes.